Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We're currently going through the book of Mark with Pastor Dave. In today's study, Pastor Dave takes us through Mark chapter 8, starting in verse 22, ending in verse 33, where we see that the more you know of the Lord, the more you realize how little you actually know. In light of His glory, the Lord shows us grace and uses us despite us. And He also progressively opens our eyes to know Him more each day. More on that now. Let's pick up with Pastor Dave in Mark chapter 8, starting in verse 22.
Guys, what are people saying about me? Who do men say that I am? And they answered, well, hey, you know, some people are saying that you're John the B, you're John the Baptist. There's a lot of buzz on the street that you're John the Baptist. A lot of people didn't know that they were synonymous in their ministry, that John was the forerunner and Jesus was on the scene for months while John was still doing his thing. Behold, the Lamb of God takes away the sins of the world. You know, maybe it was in his purity and holiness like John. So people, you know, they see your purity, they see your holiness, and you can see that on people. You can tell when somebody's pure and holy. I believe that when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you can tell. You can tell when somebody's carnal and wrapped up in sin. It shows, it oozes from them. And I think on the positive, you can see the same when somebody radiates holiness and purity. And people are saying, because you're holiness, Jesus, that you're John the Baptist. And then there's other people, they're noticing other things about you, and they're referring to you as being Elijah there in verse 28, that prophet of power. We know that Elijah has to come before you come because Malachi told us that he has to come. So some people think that you're Elijah because of the power that you've demonstrated. People are obsessed with your power. People are obsessed with your purity. I know from Matthew, listen, I know from Matthew chapter 16, you can go and look at it later, that they'll go on to say, some say that you're Jeremiah. Some people think that you're Jeremiah. Who's Jeremiah? He's the weeping prophet, but he's also referred to by the Jews as the condemning prophet. But the problem is that Jesus didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So that description doesn't fit. But this is the word on the street. Some people are infatuated with your power. Some people are heavy hitters, and they're legalistic, and they're condemning in their message. We see that in the pulpit today. We see a lot of, there's a remnant of truth, but it's a really harsh truth. And it's driving people away. And then there's other people who just see a purity and a holiness to you. And that's what people are saying about you. And he says, okay, that's what the word is on the street. That's what people are saying. But then he says to them in verse 29, and he continually said, maybe they weren't answering the question at first, but then he kept saying to them, but whom do you say that I am? Like, who do you say that I am? Do you have the right message to convey? Do you know what to say in response when people say he's John the Baptist, he's Jeremiah, he's Elijah? Do you know what to say when somebody comes knocking at your door and telling you that he's the brother of Lucifer? Do you know what to say when somebody comes and tells you that he's a prophet? And I think it's imperative that we have a handle on doctrine, that we're doing Bible studies like we are tonight, often so that we can be sound in what we're presenting to a lost world. Who is Jesus? That's the most important question that he'll ever answer. Who is he? Is he a good man? Is he a great teacher? Is he a prophet? Who is he? Guys, who do you say that I am? That's what the world is saying about me, but what are you saying about me? Now listen, we are in a generation where there are so many viral pastors, right? Like, there's all these guys that everyone's listening to and checking out, and some are heavy on the grace. We talked about this on Sunday. And they're confused. They are blurring the lines of demarcation between the church and the world, and they're confusing the heck out of everybody. And their presentation of who Christ is, because actions speak louder than words, is that he's a loose goose. Anything goes. Grace covers, grace covers, grace covers. Doesn't matter your sexual orientation. Doesn't matter what you put into your body. Doesn't matter how you lived. You're forgiven. There's grace. And it's confusing the world. But that's what the world's saying. But Jesus isn't saying, are you saying what the world's saying? Jesus is saying, okay, that's what they're saying. Understand that what you say needs to be different than what they say. Who is Jesus? Your eyes need to be open, Peter. Your eyes need to be open, James. Your eyes need to be open, John. Your eyes need to be open. Your eyes need to be open. Because listen, please, right now you still see men as trees walking. And if you keep seeing men in the natural and you don't have your eyes spiritually open to eternal things, you can't be of any real use to a lost world. Who do you say that Christ is? What if your pastor flip-flops? What if the guy that you followed since you got saved goes down and he don't even walk with Christ anymore? What if you're on Instagram? What if you're on your Twitter feed and you realize all of a sudden this guy who was once all Jesus is nothing Jesus now? He's fallen into sin. Now what are you gonna do? Who's Jesus? Is it that person's Jesus or is it your Jesus? And if it's your Jesus, then you better know who he is. Or you have no right to claim possession over him. Who is he? Who is Jesus? You got to settle that tonight. The Lord has us here for a reason. You got to settle that tonight. You got to know how to answer this question. Who is Jesus? It doesn't matter what the world says of Jesus. It doesn't matter if people are abusing grace. And it also doesn't matter if people are abusing truth and just beating people over the head and condemning people. I saw the kid, Nick, that I told you guys about on Park Ave months ago. I told you a story about a kid walking down the street, singing rap songs. We bought him food. We bought him drink. We ministered to him. And he never showed up. He never got in touch with us the way that we asked him to further minister the gospel to him, or never came to church. He has no means of transportation. We fleeced it. Lord, you want us to see this guy again? This is back in the middle of the summer. Lord, let us see him. Totally different part of the city earlier this week. All of a sudden, we hear singing. I thought it was a baby crying. And down the street comes Nick. All of a sudden, he comes, he sits, we buy him food, we buy him drinks. We exchange numbers with him again. He says, as he asks us, so are you Christians? We say, yeah, that's what we are. He says, are you born again Christians? I say, yeah, that's what we are. We're born again Christians. He goes, I don't see you guys out here screaming at people with signs. Josiah had just told me the other day that a guy that comes to his barber shop that's a Christian was down there chanting at people, just that Turner Burn type of message, just screaming at everybody, walking up and down Park Ave, one of those nice days last week. People were turned off. He said, wait a minute. He couldn't understand. You are them and they are you? Listen, maybe yes. I don't know. But all I know is this. I have a chance to show you who Jesus is. Maybe that's who they see Jesus is. Maybe that's who they see Jesus is. But let me show you who Jesus really is. You know what I'm trying to say? There's this chance to do it. Instead of telling somebody, turn or burn, here's a cup of soup. When I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me a drink. When I needed a shelter, you gave me a place to stay. When I needed a coat, you gave me your coat. Like there's more that reaches the depths of people than just your chanting and your words. Who do you say that I am? So it's imperative now that these guys in this discipleship course have an understanding. Peter makes this amazing declaration. He says, and it's emphatic, he says, you and you alone, which is like encounter distinction to Pan, to Caesar, because remember, that's where they are. You and you alone. Encounter distinction to every other lowercase g god that surrounds the whole region that we find ourselves in this pagan territory. You are the Christ, Messiah. You are the Christ, the Messiah, he says. You and you alone are the anointed one of God. You know what Messiah means besides anointed one? It comes from a root word that means, it literally means to be smeared with oil. Do you know that? Messiah comes from a root word that means to be smeared with oil. Jesus, you are the one that is smeared with oil. Who is smeared with oil in the Old Testament? Prophets, priests, and kings. You're our prophet. You're our priest. and you are our King. You're the one who told us all things. You're the one who makes intercession for us to God the Father. You're the one who makes salvation possible through the cross. You're the bridge between man and God. This is the message the lost world needs to hear. Peter's too humble because Peter tells Mark what to write. He leaves out the part where then he goes on to say, and you are the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, well done, Peter. And upon this truth, I will build my kingdom and the gates of hell will not prevail. He leaves it out. He doesn't say that. He doesn't tell Mark to write these things. He's too humble at this point. But when you and I answer this question to the lost world of Jesus, he's your prophet. He's the one who told you all things without error. He's your priest. He's your access to God the Father. He's the anointed one. He bore the sins on the cross for you, for me, for everybody, for the worst vile person. He bore their sins on that tree. He became sin for us so that you and I can become the righteousness of God. The Son of God. That's who he is. And he's the King. He's the King. He's the King of kings, and he's the Lord of lords. And one day, every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess, in fact, that he is those things. You're the anointed one. You're the smeared with oil one. I'm obsessed with that right now. I just learned this. It comes from a root word. As I'm tearing up language, it comes from a root word in the Hebrew, the one who's smeared with oil. Holy Spirit said the only ones who are smeared with oil in the Old Testament are prophet, priest, and king. I can see clearly now the rain is gone, right? He's opening our eyes. He's opening our eyes. You're putting in the work. That's what this is. You're putting in the work. You're putting in the work. He's going to honor this. He's depositing his word into your heart. He's dropping golden nuggets deep within you. You're making spiritual deposits. So when you're out in that hostile antichrist world, he's going to have a withdrawal to make in your life to give you the words to speak in that hour so that you don't have to teach your mouth what to say. He's going to bring it. Watch, I'm telling you, you're gonna have chills down your spine this week. When somebody comes up to you and says, "You, why should I follow your God?" Oh my gosh, softball right down the center of the plate. He's the anointed one. He's different than anyone else, him and him alone. Everything he's ever said that would come to pass has come to pass. Over 300 prophecies his first coming. A third of your holy book is predictive in nature. 66 books, I'll say it to the day I die, 66 books, 40 authors, over 1,500 years. He's the prophet. He's the priest. Nobody else can die for you. Nobody else would die for you. Let's be honest. Nobody else would die for you. And nobody else is the King of Kings. That's who you are, Jesus. And he charged them that they should tell no man of him. They're not ready yet. Isn't that kind of conflicting? Like, wait a minute, what? He says, yeah, you guys aren't ready yet. I got to start teaching. He's going to teach him now. Everybody wants the preaching, the yelling, the screaming, and altar calls. It's not always what it could be. He's going to teach them. You guys are not ready yet. You don't understand that I didn't just come to heal blind men physically. I came to transfer people out of the kingdom of darkness into my marvelous light, but I can't do that without the cross. Now he has to start teaching them about his death. So he began to teach them that the Son of Man, verse 31, must, circle that word must, he must suffer many things. I want to unpack that word many for you, but I can't right now because of time, but just to whet your appetite, you think about all the suffering Jesus had to endure. Think about sweating great drops of blood in Gethsemane. Think about betrayal by Peter. Think about betrayal by Judas. Think about everybody fleeing him besides John at the cross. Think about him having to see his mother weep over him. Think about him having to battle the bulls of Bashan emptied from the pits of hell. Think about the taunting he endured. Think about the scourging he endured. Think about the hair being ripped from his face. Think about the taunting of, if you're really a son of God and you really got all this power, then come down from that cross. Think about when Pilate said to him, what is truth? When he is truth. Suffering, suffering, suffering. He must suffer. He must suffer. This is crazy here. The Holy Spirit wants us to see this word. It's something that has to happen. He must go to the cross. He must suffer many things. This is something that had to be happen. Ye must suffer many things and be rejected. Rejected means that he was examined and they find out about him that he's not all that they want. They wanted somebody to overthrow Rome. They wanted somebody to set up their kingdom right now. He's not there. I'm going to be rejected. They don't want me for me. Some Christians are going to be shaken in 2020, 2021, because the Lord might not turn things around in our economy. The pandemic might not go away. Church might not be ever again what it once was. The Lord needs you to settle the score tonight of who he is in your life so that you can't be shaken, because the Bible told you in the last days there's going to be a great falling away. People that have no desire for sound doctrine. They do not want to sit here in a Bible study like this. They want me to come and tickle their ears and make them laugh and play with their emotions. He said it's going to happen. He said that in the last days, the church is like a big tree. The fowls of the air, they come, they settle. And he's going to let them stay there till the end. There's chaff and there's wheat. There's a shaking. There's a shaking. We got to know who he is. He's going to suffer. He's not going to be what they want him to be. He's going to be rejected by the chief priests. He's going to be rejected by the scribes. And he's going to be killed. That's not like a natural death. That's like a violent death. He's telling them something. They don't want to hear it. He's going to be killed, it says. And then it tells us that he's going to rise again 3 days later. They believed in the general resurrection, but they had no clue in this resurrection yet that he was speaking of. That's why they can't go out and tell the world about him. They're not ready. The Sanhedrin's going to kill me, he says, but don't worry. After 3 days, I'll rise again. So Peter, he spoke boldly. And if you're going to give Peter credit, it says that after he spoke this saying openly, Peter took him and, you know, at least he had the decency to take him aside. I suppose if you're going to rebuke Jesus, don't do it in front of everybody else. But he takes him here. Can you picture this? I mean, I only got like 2 minutes, but can you picture this? Jesus. Jesus. Come here. Come here, you. He just, you know, he did a great job a minute ago, but now all of a sudden he's getting silly. And he began to rebuke Jesus. Because at this point he only sees men as trees. You know what I'm saying? At this point he only sees men as trees walking. He can't see. When he turned about and he looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter. And he said, get thee behind me, Satan. But, you know, Peter's not really Satan. You guys know that. He's just being influenced. We're the same. Lord, get this pandemic out of here. Get my 401k back to where it needs to be. Lord, not your kingdom come, your will be done. But, Lord, keep my kingdom growing. We could be the same. And so he gets rebuked here. He says, you savor us not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. I got to stop us right there. I shouldn't, but I have to because of time. Isn't that crazy? He says to him, Peter, he says, your attitude toward this is not in keeping with the things of God, but with the things of men. Let me say it one more time, because maybe you should write it down and meditate on it, because maybe that's your problem tonight. He says, Peter, your attitude toward this is not in keeping with the things of God, but with the things of men. Let me say it to you another way. Peter, the disposition of your mind is toward the things of men and not toward the things of God. And maybe that's why some of us don't have joy tonight. Maybe that's why our joy is gone. It's been robbed. And the message we've heralded for all these years of we got joy, not happiness. Happiness is circumstantial. Joy is everlasting. Is because we're not chewing on this very thing. Savoring, you know what savoring is. You say like a chicken cutlet's cooking and you put it in your mouth. It's savory. Sauce, you taste the sauce, savory, right? All sorts of saliva starts going. I need a drink all of a sudden. He's saying it like this, though. This is a mind thing. Your mind is on the things of men, seeing men as trees. You need your eyes opened, and you need to walk out who you say I am. I can't be the anointed one. I can't be the prophet and the priest and the king that you want me to be, the son of the living God, if I don't lay down my life for the sins of the world. I have to die so that you can have life. And he'll continue that next week. Isn't that kind of crazy, though, the connecting of those two? I thought that was wild, how those two went together. I thought it was nuts. I just think it's wild how the Lord sandwiched these things right here for us in this portion. And I don't know, you know, I just want the Lord to open my eyes more. Not just, like, I don't want just more knowledge, because knowledge puffs up. I don't need any more puffing up or pride. I want the Lord to just show me more of who he is so I can reflect him and just be an attraction of him for him to everyone out there. I mean, that's what the world needs. The world needs to see Jesus, because everyone out there is just seeing people walking around like trees right now. And we're shifting. That's how we started. But we're not there anymore. Maybe it's still blurry. Oh, is that a tree or is that a person? Oh, it's Pat. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's an oak tree back there. But it's transitioning. I'm starting to see more, Jesus, of what you're seeing and how you're seeing. I don't see political parties. I don't see red or blue. I don't see that sin or this sin. I just see people who need you. And I want to reflect you to them. Amen? Worship team, would you guys come and... Jesus, we give you thanks tonight for your word. It is a light unto our path and a light unto our feet. And I can't speak, Lord, when I'm on this stage, Lord, speaking into this mic. I can't speak for everybody, Lord, but I know for me, if I didn't have your word, I would be meandering. I'd probably be like an animated zombie, just meandering, Lord, so lost of what to tell my wife and what to tell my kids, of who to put our trust in and what to think and how to answer questions and how I'd respond. But Lord, everything else is based on the answer to this question. Who do you say that I am? And because of your spirit, I got the right answer. And because I got the right answer, I know how to live. And I pray, Lord, that you keep opening our eyes and opening our hearts to who you are. And that we would walk it out, God, that we'd walk in accordance to the revelation of who you are, trusting you, eyes on you, so that we can rightly reflect you, Lord, to this lost world. We bless your name, Jesus. This is our therapy, singing to you and worshiping you, God, and receiving from you. So, Lord, as you put a smile on our faces, we pray, Lord, that we put a smile on yours.
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. We invite you to join us this coming Sunday at Calvary Chapel Westside. Our Sunday morning services are 9 and 11 a.m. We'd also love for you to refuel with us at our midweek study on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Calvary Chapel Westside is located at 2407 Union Street in Spencerport, New York. If you'd like to know more about CC Westside, you can log on to our website at ccwestside.com. That's ccwestside.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Vimeo, where you can access videos of Pastor Dave's teachings. If you'd like to contact us, simply give us a call. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. Again, that's 585-352-3150. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It is our prayer that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ. My blood and water.